Just look at a map of the state, either state, and notice how often certain names are repeated. How many Elk Rivers and Elk Creeks are there? There's been renewed interest in recent months in scrubbing the maps of old names now seen as offensive. Many peaks and creeks and lakes include the word Negro or Squaw. Many states have boards or commissions that have some regulatory power or input anyway over place names. In Oregon, that body is the Oregon Geographic Names Board, part of the Oregon Historical Society. Let's hear how it works from Bruce Fisher, the president of the Oregon Geographic Names Board. Bruce, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
So we should point out first that the Geographic Names Board is not a government agency, is that right?
That's correct.
Would you give us a sketch of the organization?
We're affiliated with the Oregon Historical Society, and our purpose is to supervise the naming of geographic features within Oregon and make recommendations to the U.S. Board on Geographic Names, which has the final approval authority.
So even within Oregon, for example, it would have to be a federal decision that would decide what something is named?
It's always a federal decision. Mm-hmm. Well, I think some states have, state naming authorities have legal authorization, but Oregon is an advisory board.
Okay, so the list of 25 board members shows a pretty good scattering across the state. I have to believe that is deliberate.
Yeah, we try to represent the state. Board members are historians, geographers, newspaper people, tribal members, private citizens, ranchers. Anyone on the board is appointed because of their knowledge of Oregon history and geography.
Talk about your own story then, Bruce. I mean, what interest did it provide for you to want to get on to the Oregon Geographic Names Board?
Well, my career was with the U.S. Geological Survey, and the Oregon Board also has advisors, and those advisors usually come from federal and state agencies for their expertise in mapping and cartography. And I was a geographer with the USGS, and someone from our office always served on the Oregon Board as an advisor. And I was asked one time if I'd be interested in taking up that role, and that was about 25 years ago. So I started as an advisor. And then when I retired from the USGS, I was asked to become a board member. So now I'm a board member.
How long on the board?
I have been on the board for about 11 years, 12 years.
Okay. So it must still be fun or interesting. You wouldn't still be there, right?
It is an interesting process, let's say. Mm-hmm. Learning more about the history of the state and the proposals can be very interesting, very complex sometimes.
Well, I mean, there are certainly, you mentioned that there's an advisory board anyway, so but it's also like you're not going to recommend renaming a city or something like that. Talk about what the domain of the board is.
We are supervising only geographic features. We don't get involved with street names, road names, cities, structures, hospitals, those kinds of things. Just geographic features within Oregon. Rivers, mountains, canyons.
So before there were such boards, how did land features get names?
Well, probably it was just local. You know, the U.S. Board was established in 1890. The Oregon Board was established in 1908. So, you know, map production was primarily the reason why, you know, they were seeking names, was to place names on maps. When map production began around the 1850s, there was an encouragement to get names onto these maps.
Mm-hmm. And I can see, too, that in the days before we had faster communication like we would have had by telegraph and even telephone by 1890, that explains why there's something like 300 Elk Creeks scattered across the country.
Elk Creeks, Clear Lakes. Yeah, there's a lot of duplication. Mm-hmm. Some of that came because in the 80s, the U.S. Board requested more names from federal and state agencies, and so they were just doing like a batch loading of names given to them by these agencies. And so that's, you know, not every name that's on a map is researched and authorized. A lot of them came in through a kind of a group batch mode, and so that's why you see quite a bit of duplication of, you know, one feature name like Elk Creek. And lots of them, even in within one county, you can have many elk creeks.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I did check to see that there were more than 300 across the country, but I knew there were a couple in Oregon alone, but didn't even think about the county part, too. We're talking to Bruce Fisher, who's the president of the Oregon Geographic Names Board, about the naming of geographic features and the advisory capacity that the board has. It is part of the Oregon Historical Society. It was removed from state government several decades ago. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Questions, comments about the process of applying names to geographic features. Welcome here on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So what's the typical business of the board then? Talk about the process, how things come before the board and how you act upon it.
Well, we receive proposals from the public mostly. We do get some from watershed councils. Sometimes will give us proposals. We just recently did one for the Mary's Peak Alliance down near Corvallis. They had within the Corvallis watershed, they wanted to name 10 unnamed creeks, and so we can get proposals that way. Mostly, though, they come from the public, and they either come to me directly through my email that's posted on our website, or they go to the U.S. board, who then turns them around and gives them back to us. We have a big project going on over at Newberry Volcano, where the research scientist there has about 50 features within the Newberry Monument that she would like to have named. So they come from all different areas and all different sources.
At the Newberry Volcano, are those peaks or streams or a little bit of each?
They're mostly volcanic features like cinder cones and caves, and she just wants to add more feature names so that she can identify them in her research paper.
Mm-hmm. Is that the general run of business, I ask? Because it seems like from what I've been reading over the last couple of months that there seems to be a spike again in interest in place names that people now deem offensive. And I wonder if you've noticed an uptick at the Geographic Names Board in Oregon.
It's kind of a new phenomenon. I had never really gotten involved with renaming features because of people felt that the name was derogatory. It's kind of a recent phenomenon. We've only really, other than working on replacing squaw names, and we've been working a lot with tribes to come up with new names to replace the word squaw. We really haven't seen too many other proposals to rename a derogatory name. Negro Ben Mountain down in Jackson County is mm-hmm. one we're working on right now. The proponent wants to rename the mountain to Ben Johnson Mountain, which is the name of the gentleman that we believe was named for. But yeah, there is a spike. Some of it had to do with a YouTube video that came out, or Netflix show in which the host went on about removing offensive names,
mm-hmm. Hassan Minhaj,
town names, yeah. Place names. So that kind of brought on a spike mm-hmm. of proposals to replace these derogatory terms. It's a complex issue, and we're just starting to really kind of grasp it.
You mentioned Negro Ben, that is in the Applegate Valley, and they pushed to name that Ben Johnson Peak, which would certainly be nice. I mean, it's the Negro, all the places named Negro were much worse at one point in time, weren't they?
Yes, and particularly this mountain had the N-word attached to it originally.
Mm-hmm. And that's just a few miles away from Squaw Lakes in Jackson County. So talk about the whole process of trying to remove the Squaw name. This has been, as you mentioned, an ongoing thing.
Well, we've been working on it in Oregon for probably two decades now. It really requires some initiative. We don't propose names. We are kind of a reactive rather than proactive board, meaning they have to really kind of come to us. So it takes the initiative of someone to come up with a replacement name. And, some cases it just hasn't happened yet. We're waiting for someone to come forward with a proposal to change the name. We have reached out to tribes, and we're working with the tribes on trying to remove these offensive names. But it is you know, it is a process that takes more than one person to do. You have to come up with an alternative name, replacement name, and that's going to require some research and some association to the feature. Mm-hmm. So it's just not an easy thing to really kind of get started.
All right, but there is outreach, as you're saying. It's not just a matter of waiting for somebody to come to you. You have reached out to the tribes and said, you know, do you have some ideas here for what to rename this feature or that feature?
Correct. And if they're located on federal lands, then, you know, it might take some initiative or an approval from the federal landowner, too, the Forest Service or the BLM or whomever. Mm-hmm. So there's a number of different parties that kind of need to work together on these. It's just not one individual. So, yeah, it can get complicated, and it can take a long time. But we have, Oregon had more squaw named features than any other state, and we've cut that number down to almost a third of what it originally was.
Well, is it still a few dozen? It seems like a long list.
We started with 180.
So, 180, okay.
You know, we are making progress, and we've been able to replace the squaw with some beautiful tribal names, and so... but it is a slow process.
Matty Phone. We're talking to Bruce Fisher, who's the president of the Oregon Geographic Names Board here on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join the conversation as we talk about how to provide names for geographic features. It is an advisory body, not one that has regulatory power. You can right. join us on the exchange as we talk about this at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Aside from the sort of generically offensive names, are there place names in Oregon that have fallen out of favor? I mean, do we have any Robert E. Lee creeks or anything like that, Bruce?
I have not heard of anything like that. I mean, sometimes we'll get a query from a citizen about Coon Island, you know, mm-hmm. and they feel that it's offensive. But then, you know, we ask them to come up with a replacement name, submit a replacement name, and offer them... you know, ways to go to our website and get the information, download the form, and so a lot of times that's the last we hear from them. They're more curious than anything, but we've replaced words like Darkey Creek. Mm-hmm. So there's always a little bit of effort going on to replace these derogatory names, but like I say, we pretty much have to wait and have them come to us.
All right, let's take a phone call here. We have Boris in Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Bruce Fisher from the Oregon Geographic Names Board.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Senator Wyden is soliciting nominations for wild and scenic rivers, and we are working on several rivers in the Cascades, for instance, Quartzville Creek. Mm-hmm. And when I'm looking on the Google Maps, a number of the tributaries, which we'd like to include, have names. Others don't. And I was wondering, are the names on Google Maps official names? And if not, where did they come from?
Okay, excellent question. And we're talking to a geographer about that. Thanks for the question, Boris. Bruce?
Well, the names that you see on these online map servers are supposed to be, they are supposed to be using the National Names Database. It's called GNIS, the Geographic Names Information System. That's the federally managed names database. So they are supposed to be using them. Sometimes they aren't current, up to date. But if it's a name appears on a map, then it's supposed to be official. We aren't supposed to have or see unofficial names on any of these map servers.
All right, so they're serving from the, they're coming from the same sources that all
we're
of the
all
maps
coming
from
the same mm-hmm. source, correct? And so, if a feature that you see isn't named, then it probably never has been named. And so, if you were interested in naming it, then you know, if you don't see a name there, then I'm probably pretty sure that the feature has never been named.
Mm-hmm. Although, I feel for Boris, and you know, as you zoom in, you can sometimes the creek name will appear, but sometimes it just doesn't happen. So you're left with a question about whether you didn't zoom in far enough or whether it actually doesn't have a name. So,
they keep, as you zoom in, they're going to different scale maps, and sometimes you might not get into it close enough to see the feature name, although that really shouldn't happen, but it could, I guess. Mm-hmm. If you have questions about whether a feature may or may not be named, you can always contact me and just give me enough information so I can do my own. I have a complete historic map library, or fairly complete, so I can go back through historic maps and see if maybe it was dropped for some reason. Mm-hmm. You know,
Bruce, you mentioned the form that people have to fill out. Is it the same form whether somebody wants to apply a new name or change an existing name?
Yeah, it's the same form. It's on our website. You can get to it by just Googling Oregon Geographic Names Board, and it'll take you to our website, which is part of the Oregon Historical Society's mm-hmm. web.
We provide a link to that at our web blurb on this at jeffexchange.org. Any requirements of a person? Do they have to have standing? Do they have to live within X number of miles of a landform to request a change or a name?
No. And you really don't need to use that form. You can send it all in letter form to me, where the feature is, what its name is, what you want to rename it. But when it comes to renaming, we kind of put the onus on the proponent to do a lot of the research. And so why are you naming it? Why do you want to rename it? And what name do you want to use? And why do you want to use that name? And what's the historical connection? Is there any association to this feature? Does it make sense? I mean, is it, we've had some kind of crazy names. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why we vet these proposals is to kind of look at all that information.
It seems like about 35 years ago, there was a proposal to name an alkali pond in South Central Oregon, Stinky Pond. Did that name stick?
I do not know.
I'll have to research that independently. I didn't even think about that until now. Bruce, we have about a minute left. I just want to ask how often you meet and how many recommendations will come out in a year, for example.
We meet once or twice a year. It depends on how busy we are. Our next meeting is going to be next June here in Portland. It's going to be part of a conference where we're trying to bring in all the state naming authorities to Portland for a week-long conference. The U.S. Board will be out and host one of their meetings. Mm-hmm. The dates are the June 23rd through the 27th at the Oregon Historical Society. Typically in a year, we'll probably handle 20 to 25 names, mm-hmm. name proposals, sometimes more, sometimes less, but we're the busiest state board in the country.
Okay, a lot of places, lots of names. As you mentioned, you started with 180 places named Squaw something and have whittled that list down.
Well, we have a lot of federal land, so there's a lot of features still unnamed. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As opposed to the East Coast, where most features there, geographic features, have been named.
Okay, Bruce Fisher from the Oregon Geographic Names Board, thank you so much.